This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. We're going to follow up now on one of the biggest alleged swindles that emerged during the financial meltdown. A year ago this week, the empire of billionaire investor Alan Stanford collapsed. Stanford had offices in Texas and Antigua. He's now awaiting trial on fraud charges. As part of the legal efforts, a court-appointed lawyer is trying to recover political campaign contributions that Stanford and his executives made with clients' money. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
If the name Alan Stanford jogs your memory at all, it might be because he got the government of Antigua to dub him Sir Alan Stanford, or because he threw millions of dollars into his passion for the game of cricket, or because of this interview in June of 2008 on CNBC. The question, is it fun being a billionaire?
Well, yes. Yes, yes. I have to say it is fun being a billionaire.
I think it's hard work.
Whether he would call making campaign contributions hard work or fun, he made a lot of them. Stanford and his two top executives dropped $1.8 million in Washington. The money went to five party committees, three presidential campaigns, and 82 members of Congress. Now, a judge has appointed what's called a receiver to recover whatever he can for investors, including that campaign money. Kevin Sadler is a lawyer representing the receiver. He says the Stanford operation used political money as a tool.
A business organization that from the outside appeared to be a legitimate business and was doing many things to give the appearance of legitimacy, one of which is to provide political contributions.
Well, as they say on Capitol Hill, it all seemed legitimate at the time. The fact is, politicians don't like to let go of money they've raised. The receiver sent letters last March asking for refunds. Out of the $1.8 million, a bit less than $89,000 came back. Now a second round of letters has gone out. It tells the politicians that the money was, quote, diverted from the thousands of innocent investors that have been defrauded by the Stanford Ponzi scheme, unquote. There's no threat to file suit, but Sadler says that's not off the table.
The money needs to be returned, and where it's cost justified to do so, then certainly going to court, you know, is very much an option.
That leaves one obvious question. Who's holding all of the Stanford money? In first place, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee with $950,000, almost half the total. Nobody at the committee responded to NPR's request for comment. The National Republican Congressional Committee ranks number two with $238,500. Its spokesman said they had no comment. Charlie Rangel, the New York Democrat who chairs the Ways and Means Committee, has the most Stanford money of any lawmaker, $35,800. His office didn't respond to our requests. Nor did the office of Texas Republican Pete Sessions with $10,000. He's in second place for individual lawmakers who have kept the cash. There is precedent for politicians giving back tainted contributions. Deciding to do so can be as much political as legal.
I think what ultimately will happen will depend on whether the story has legs or not.
Larry Noble is a campaign finance lawyer and former general counsel to the Federal Election Commission. He says politicians look at the pain threshold, where the money is no longer worth the fight. And
the larger the amount of money, the higher the pain threshold.
But clearly, when it comes to holding on to Alan Stanford's money, the pain hasn't come anywhere near the threshold. At least not yet. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.